We're talking drum and bass.
What's Cooking? Supported by Auckland art gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.
All right, if you've just tuned in, this is our weekly guest selection feature. And BFM alumni and friend of the station, Jay Bulletproof, should be on the line there all the way from...
I am indeed, mate. How
are you down in the mount?
I am down in the mount, yeah.
What's it like down there? Give us the skinny.
It is bloody lovely, mate. I'm not going to lie. This lockdown was...
Just like how I remember it then.
Certainly a lot easier than the very first level 4 lockdown, I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't too long for you guys, I think.
No, it was only 3 weeks, fortunately, and then another week or so at level 3.
Yeah, nice one, nice one. And over the weekend, someone commented on a post of yours about a new drum and bass podcast that you're putting together. So
yes.
I've furiously listened to all 5 episodes thus far. But for people that don't know about it, Jay, do you want to give us a bit of background on yourself and on the podcast?
Right. So I guess I started DJing jungle and drum and bass in Auckland in 1995, around the time that sort of things sort of started blowing up in that UK scene. Goldie was releasing Timeless and stuff like that. There was a bunch of other DJs around as well who'd already been at it for quite a lot longer than me. 48 Sonic, Aaron, Riddle, and then later on Jeff Pressure as well moved to Auckland and started the Breaks with them. So that was like the start of Auckland's drum and bass scene. But
we're talking about sort of what began happening at Calibre around the mid-90s, right?
Yes, 1996, I think that sort of started around October 1996, mm-hmm. and went at various venues for a couple of years, but the guys who were doing that, D-Rave and DJ Pressure, were also focusing on bringing a lot of internationals over to New Zealand during that time as well, like Groove Rider, Doc Scott, Chemistry Storm, Goldie, just to name a few, you know, mm-hmm. and that time, during that time I'd been a DJ, my DJ name was DJ Potts, because when I first started mixing jungle, I sounded like Pots and Pans banging together, so my mates called me Potsy. I was terrible, and after a while, I got good, so I they gave me the name Potts, which was, you know, fortunate, I guess. But it wasn't long before I started producing music and became one of the first, second, I think, after Nathan Haynes, teaming up with an international producer called DJ A-Sides. We were the first drum and bass duo export from New Zealand, sort of around 1999. Yeah.
You guys sort of did a fairly extensive touring through Eastern Europe.
There
seems to be quite an appetite in Europe.
All around the world.
New Zealand
drum and
bass.
Yeah, it's weird. They love the Kiwi sound, which is, predominantly a very Rocky-esque kind of sound, and it's very techie as well, and the further east you go the more they love that sound, mm-hmm. in Europe, and especially little pockets around America as well. I toured a lot around, weird places like Puerto Rico and just, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina, and just like real small places you wouldn't expect drum and bass to be, but there's small pockets of people that love that really techie Kiwi sound, and a lot of us producers from over here have all toured through those places, you know.
How are they getting it? Was it like early internet kind of days?
No,
forum
man, it
type
was records. We used to press and produce records and sell them around the world, and that was literally like, you know, one good record and you've got yourself a year's worth of touring back in those days. It was it was awesome, you know. It was quite lucrative if you were one of those major guys on a, you know, owning their own labels and stuff like that. So we kind of saw them doing that and decided to start our own record label as well. And,
it's you know, for people that sort of lived or, you know, never were around in the time sort of pre-internet, it's kind of hard to grasp how hard it was to get music, get your hands on it, and necessarily hear it. You know, like everything is at the touch of your fingertips nowadays. But if it was pre-internet, you know, only a couple of copies would come into New Zealand, and you actually had to go out to a club if you wanted to hear a song.
That's exactly right. You know, we used to write letters to record labels to try and get promos out of them so we could at least try and get some tunes that no one else had, you know, because all back in those days we were all quite competitive, and it was, if you had something that no one else had, people would come to hear that tune get played in the club.
Sometimes so play it at the beginning and the end of the set, eh?
Just yep. Like, and yeah. in the middle as yeah, well. Yeah, and then, yeah. then a couple of rewinds either yeah, side yeah, of it yeah. if it's a big one, you know?
I've thought about doing that on the show. Sometimes I'm like, can I play that again this show? And you're like, no, I'm here tomorrow.
A DJ did a wedding. I mean, whatever. But, you know, it was, you know, like.
What? You, like, you gave it like 4 months?
You can't,
like,
no. you can't beat a rewind at a wedding.
It wasn't.
I know.
Yeah.
I played a couple of weddings in my time as well for friends, and a classic reload always.
Did you love that?
Especially with the in-laws, they're like, "What the hell? Who booked this DJ?"
And now we've got you on this evening. Obviously, we'll probably talk about this podcast in a bit more depth shortly. But
I'm looking at a rack of tracks, and it is a who's who of New Zealand drum and bass, pretty much. Should we get into it?
Yeah, I've kind of tried to cover the last 20 years, really.
Rad.
And I think the first one that we're going to play is a track that myself and a guy called DJ Optive produced, and Josh, my old production partner as well, shout out to him. It's called Camouflage, and I think this is the Upbeats remix.
Yep.
So yeah, I've got the Upbeats in there as well. So I teamed up with the Upbeats in like 2007, and we did this remix sort of as an ode to the old days. Yeah, so this is like one of our first sort of big tunes on a international label. It was owned by Rhyme Time, who was the MC for Ed Rush and Optical and Virus Recordings, who you might have heard on a lot of tunes of theirs back in the day.
Sure.
All right, let's hear it.
Let's go. We'll be right back.
Bulletproof and DJ Optive remixed by The Upbeats. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Bulletproof. That is a Jay Bulletproof selection coming all the way from the Mount via the internet into this very radio station.
How good is Clean Feed? My God, I'm going to use this for the podcast from now on.
It's a little more audio-based, I think. Yeah.
Yes.
We have a shit definitely. Computer up here, so I just have to shut every other program, and it works really well.
It's BFM. My headphones are only working in one ear.
Don't give away the illusion.
Honestly, nothing's changed, man. Don't go changing BFM.
Basically, it looks like right now John's just constantly going, take the shot.
I'm holding one ear, like just trying to get my headphones.
But you've got a real big pimple on your chin you don't want me to see or something?
Jay, what?
Yes.
The reason we're talking is I discovered your podcast over the weekend. What inspired this drum and bass podcast? What exactly is it called, first and foremost?
It's called The History of New Zealand Drum and Bass. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of spanning over 25 years of drum and bass around Aotearoa. And the fundamental basis of the entire podcast is to catch up with the people who were responsible for the initial explosion and the initial foundation laying of the New Zealand drum and bass scene. And that goes from the DJs to the promoters to the MCs to a lot of the fans and who later became DJs, you know. So, you know, there's people on the podcast who have like over 25 years invested in New Zealand drum and bass, and their stories, basically it is a way of digitizing their stories for history.
Totally. Yes. It feels like, I mean, an hour flies by. It's like
it does.
You listen to it and you go, oh my God, it feels like they're just getting started. There's only a couple of yarns, you know.
Those are the podcasts that I like to listen to, and those most engaging ones, you know. So I've tried to, without really much effort, to keep these as sort of short and concise as possible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, condense everyone's stories down into an hour just for the podcast series, because initially this was meant to be a documentary and we applied for funding and got knocked back here and there. So it was kind of like when level four happened, it was like, you know what, this is perfect. Everyone's at home. I know everyone's at home right now. So
it's funny you say that, because I was like, fuck, this will definitely be a documentary, bro. Like it's big enough.
I'd been working on the production of that for around a year. I came down to Tauranga to work on Juice TV and sort of bring that back to life on Channel 200. And once my contract with them finished, I was like, sort of just went contracting and working in radio here and there. But I was like always sort of plugging away at this, thinking that, you know, if we don't have a platform and we can't get funding, let's just start small and try and work our way up. And I've just been absolutely mind-blowing by the response to it. It's incredible.
Well, you might have a precursor there, because I mean, when you look at the Smashproof story and that, like, people want to know, and we should be really fucking proud of it, you know. And the tall poppiness kind of gets in the way of everyone just going, fuck, yo, this is something we can really be proud of.
I think it's like you say, like, everyone, you know, we've got a captive audience, so I think that's a huge part of the reason why this has popped off. B, a lot of the people that are listening, and I'm able to see all the metrics and demographics that are listening and all that, you know, so like a lot of these people are older people who are taking trips down memory lane, but I've been absolutely mind blown by the sort of 18 to 24 year old market of people that have just like gone, this is incredible. And the DMs are flooded. I can't even respond to anyone because it's just mental. So like there's all these young people just going, oh my God, I really wanted to know what it was like back in the day.
Totally.
And then there's all these oldies who are kind of like, you know what, man, this is such a trip down memory lane. I remember this night, that night. That night, it's like,
if you're talking about
what it was designed for,
rad. And you were just talking about the beginning earlier. If you are talking about the beginning, you're basically talking about Concord Dawn, right, in New Zealand.
Well, that's the thing. Like, if you ask Concord Dawn, who was doing drum and bass and who was sort of doing proper the UK sort of definition of drum and bass first, they'll say us. You know, I say personally, when it comes to drum and bass, there's one name that's synonymous with drum and bass in Aotearoa, and it is Concord Dawn. Mm-hmm. You know, like they did so much grassroots building of the scene for their style of music at a time, and I actually recorded the first half of the story of Concord Dawn, which is coming out in a couple of weeks' time with Evan Killjoy, who's over in Washington at the moment. He was one of the original duo, and so I'm going to record Maddie C in the next 2 weeks and put out a double episode of the story of Concord Dawn, because their story is amazing. It's something that, you know, everyone in Aotearoa can be proud of, you know, because it's just two good mates who went out and did fucking conquered the world, pardon my French.
They did. all good. Well, let's get right into it, man. We've got Say Your Words featuring Holly Smith. Any reason why you chose this track?
I just think it's probably one of the greatest drum and bass tracks to come out of New Zealand of all time.
Okay, fair enough.
Can't buy.
Now there's a couple of D&B artists that I feel are distinctly BFMs. We can claim them. I reckon Concord Dawn and
the Pavlova all over again.
And State of Mind. I think we can go look. These are straight up BFM.
Yep.
We can just put our flag in there and go, yep, all right, that's ours. Yeah.
In the podcast I recorded with Concord Dawn, you know, I ask about the rise of Concord Dawn. How did it happen? And 95 BFM is first and foremost. So, you know, you guys have got that. And, of course, State of Mind, man, they came through on BFM with the Next Level show. And, you know, yeah, you guys have before. It's really amazing as well because I've also one of your ex-hosts who's a famous host on BFM from the 90s, Nick D, has also done an episode. And, my God, it is the most comprehensive rehash because it's all chronologically ordered. He's just so methodical in the way that he puts together his interviews, right. And I just let him go. I didn't need to say anything. And 95 BFM once again just very much at the forefront of drum and bass, especially in the 90s before George FM came around.
I know we kind of chatted about this a bit off air, so I'm kind of a bit dusty on what we spoke of on air, but I mean, where did you tie into BFM and what sort of shows were you listening to?
So I used to come up, I was one of the first sort of young cats playing jungle and drum and bass, and I was hanging out with guys like Otis and Slave and DLT and Kirk Harding, and so I was often allowed up to come and play tunes on their radio shows. Mm-hmm. That's how I was first introduced to BFM. But not after a while I started getting called up to do cover shows and stuff like that, and then 48 Sonic had a show and so did Pressure, so I was doing shows on BFM all the time.
What did that look like? Were you like, you just come up with vinyl, or did
we'd all come up and play the latest vinyl to each other, basically. Right, it's just all us crews like hanging out, having beers in the studio.
Yeah, yeah, no, same thing.
And, same turntables, yeah, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad BFM hasn't changed. It's there's a lot of history on those decks up there, man.
Right on.
In that little studio.
Right on.
Now, the next artist you have for me, Big Hungry. Was saying that Concord Dawn is kind of the artist for him, or he thinks of, but for me State of Mind is kind of the pinnacle of New Zealand drum and bass.
They have done so much, man. Like, you couldn't name two. I mean, you can actually. You can name people who have all just worked as hard as one another, but they have been absolutely prolific, especially in that Eastern European sort of scene, the UK, and then later on around America as well, you know. And Pat touches on that. That was only part one of the State of Mind story on the podcast so far as well. The plan is to get them both in the studio and have them bouncing off each other, because when you get Disco Stew and Pat together in the studio, it's just hilarious. And
healthy arguments, yes.
No, it's not so much that, it's just the banter, man. It's really, it's just the banter, yeah. It's like two mates. That's the thing. Most production duos, you have to be really tight and good friends, almost brothers, to really want to spend that much time with someone, you know.
Healthy arguments, that's what I'm talking about.
Healthy arguments and happy accidents,
yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Now, tell us about the State of Mind track you've got queued up.
This is the tune that blew State of Mind up, not just in New Zealand, but around the world. And it became like, you know, Juice TV picked it up on Araha's show for Home End Zone. And it just became kind of, you know, part of the fabric of New Zealand drum and bass and New Zealand music in general. This is like...
what time frame are we talking? 2004?
This is around 2004, yeah.
Sure. Mm.
Right. This is Sun King by State of Mind.
This is a massive tune. This is it so is. Massive.
Enjoy, everyone. State of Mind there with Sun King.
If there's one DJ act you can scull a few Jaeger and Red Bulls to, State of Mind, down in Old Cooney.
Hey,
how
Jay.
Old Cooney on a drum and bass weekend, though, right?
So good. Go to the Hot Live or Kings, man. Have a rapper.
We do have Jay Bulletproof on the line, and we're just kind of covering off drum and bass in Aotearoa. Whereabouts is drum and bass now? And where's it headed?
Well, I mean, it's a very different scene than what it was, but my God, the popularity of it now has been unmatched, you know what I mean? I mean, it's been very popular throughout throughout history, the last 25 years, but where it's at now is just something else completely, and I think that has a lot to do with the music and the artists and the accessibility of these people and the fact that, as well, a lot of streaming was happening by a lot of, you know, newly minted DJs that were doing live streams during the very first level four lockdown, and drum and bass seemed like it was the music of choice.
Out of it, okay.
And a lot of those DJs and a lot of those people who just would never have seen it before were introduced to drum and bass, and then and it's also a lot of the work by, you know, obviously George FM plays a lot of the popular drum and bass stuff, and then there's a lot of promoters out there just doing absolutely, you know, God's work to make the scene sort of work at the moment, and especially back then after the last the first lockdown. But
it's
I think the point is that a lot of work has gone in at the scene over here over the last year and a half, 18 months. And a lot of sort of happy accidents as far as like a whole new generation of people that were introduced to drum and bass during those lockdowns, you know.
True.
So the scene is just flourishing at the moment, and the music is accessible, and it's not too dark, and it's musical, and girls can sing along to it, and boys can sort of bop, bop, bop and rave along, you know what I mean? So there's something for everyone, and there's, you know, definitely a few key artists who have played a major role in New Zealand's drum and bass as well, like guys like Lee Matthews who have come through, and Floatus, and just some of the new names that are cropping up as well.
It's funny you mentioned George FM, because somebody said, see, this is real DMB, way better than that fluff you hear on George these days. But that's actually a sign of a fucking strong scene when you have a commercial element to it, you know?
You need festivals, and you need stations like George FM to introduce people to the music.
Gateway.
But the thing about drum and bass is that historically people have like discovered it, and then they've gone off down the rabbit hole, and they've discovered all the amazing subgenres, and that's where people end up, you know what I mean? And those are the strong pockets of the scene as well, you know. You've got your liquid scenes, you've got your minimal scenes, you've got your roller scenes and all that sort of stuff, and there's little pockets of people putting on those parties around New Zealand every weekend, and you know, those are the little foundation bread and butter gigs that sort of keep the scene ticking over outside of festival season.
Do you have to have the? Is drum and bass like it's got to have the boom te, boom te, boom te, boom
I mean,
boom. Does it have to do that? Is there like if I make
it? Kind of went through a minimalist period where there was subgenres that were, you know,
that drum break, you know, that aim and break or whatever the fuck it's called.
The aim and I mean that's a classic, you know, beat from day one of jungle and drum and bass and hip hop. To be fair,
right.
But yeah, I mean, we used to make jokes back in the day when the minimal scene was kind of happening that we'd all buy our friends snares for Christmas because a lot of their tunes didn't have any in them. That's how stripped back and minimal drum and bass got at one stage.
Fair enough.
Now you've queued up another track for us by another local DMB legend, Tali.
Weapon, an absolute weapon she is. Yeah, and she's teamed up with quite possibly one of the hardest working solo producers the scene's ever outputted as well, guy going by the name of Trey, who's a legend, releasing on some of the biggest labels in the world over his career, and he goes out on the road, you know, three or four times a year, usually to Europe and the States to tour and fly the flag for New Zealand drum and bass. And
is this recent?
I mean, this track I think is maybe 2018.
Rebels.
It's always been like at the front of my playlist because I just love the lyrics, and it sums up kind of what a classic drum and bass rave is, you know what I mean? If you listen to the lyrics, it's
I had the pleasure of catching Tali at Splore, and I was like, I go into most gigs pretty skeptical, but man, it was so good, bro. This is the real deal, man. It was quite ballsy, like real dry vocal, but just real mint, you know, like it was right on the money, and there was strings and shit, and I was like, this is so good.
She's back at Splore again next week, next year as well. She's announced, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah, I recommend everyone check that out.
And everything.
Yeah, it's the real deal. It felt like I was like, shit, I'm seeing the real deal. You know when you feel
you
that?
You should check out her documentary. She released a documentary last year called Lyric on My Lip, celebrating 15 years of the tune that sort of put her on the map as the queen of drum and bass MCing around the world. It's really awesome. It's available to go and check out on YouTube.
That track went off. 100%.
Yes, it did. Yeah.
All right, let's hear Rebels.
Let's do it. They try to tell us now that the weak cannot become strong. They try to tell out, but we've all been here for far too long, and it was written in the sky as a warning, like a lion voice arising and it's roaring, but they're busy being blind to the signs to see what lies before their eyes. It was written in the sky as a warning, like a lion voice arising and it's roaring, but they're busy being blind to the signs to see what.
Tali and Trey with Rebels there, as selected by Jay Bulletproof.
Big tune.
Massive tune.
Trey's actually, his episode of the podcast is dropping at 5:30 tomorrow morning, just in time for that morning commute. Wink, wink. Shameless plug right there.
What's the maths behind that? 5:30?
Apparently, that time of the morning is the busiest time for all podcast downloads. I guess people are getting ready for their working day.
And, holy shit.
A lot of these, especially, I mean, we're number five podcast in New Zealand at the moment, and number five in Australian music podcasts, and we've made the top 50 in the UK as well. So,
okay, any idea of where the Drive Show's podcast is at? Is it what channel?
I haven't seen it on my travels through the list.
I don't even know if it gets to a podcast. I know it gets B-casted, but yeah, no.
It's on the BFM website.
It's very much irrelevant right now.
Now, so what's obviously Trey is on the horizon. Who else? Yes. Who else are you trying to get? Who are your sort of people that you'd love to have on?
Who haven't I got? It's like it's a veritable who's who of New Zealand drum and bass from the past 25 years, mm-hmm. as far as DJs, MCs, producers, promoters, as well as a lot of the internationals. There's a few in production at the moment, but you know, like there's some really incredible international talent.
Oh, he just dropped out. Do you know what I was going to ask him? I was going to ask if he's thought about getting like a massive Brit drum and bass hero to kind of look at it from the perspective of like the New Zealand scene blowing up. That would have been such a good question.
Touring here. I think that is definitely...
Not touring here, just people going, oh, what's this? Oh, they're from New Zealand. Oh, there's a bit of a scene in New Zealand. And like just watching how that would evolve. That's what I was going to ask him.
I would say that is definitely on the horizon. And we'll just see if he reconnects.
Here's Tumani and Siddiqui.
You're tuned to 95 BFM. We've been talking drum and bass and playing some drum and bass for the last
Maybe you've got hour. A smart drum and bass song for us. You can go in the draw for that Art Epa monthly pack. 5395 smart song. Just start the text with smart and then whatever song you like and you will get a month's supply of Art Epa potentially.
There he is. Jay, you're there. You're back.
Hey, bro. Gave us a chance to do a couple of voice breaks. It's good.
Yeah, I don't know where I got through that convo, but my internet just dropped out.
Well, Big Hungry was just discussing whether you're going to get like a bird's eye view from a British MC on the New Zealand scene.
Just going like,
yes,
oh.
So yeah. I've got Stamina MC on next week.
Oh, rad.
He is the author and the vocalist of one of the biggest drum and bass tracks of all time and two top 20 UK hits, Top of the Pops with DJ Marky, Top of the Pops with DK, and their tune Barcelona and LK. And so, like, yeah, he's spent a lot of time out here in New Zealand after his tours and hung out and connected with a lot of people. So it's really cool, the way he speaks so fondly of New Zealand and just some of his experiences out here and what he's kind of had to watch going on over in New Zealand while those guys in the UK were in lockdown for 18 months, you know what I mean? We were very lucky. So we were the eyes of the world were on us, and a lot of drum and bass royalty were all watching and stuff. So, and they were all really keen to be involved with the podcast and talk about their times out here, which is, to me, just mind-boggling.
epic. Now, we've got one more track before we blast out of here. What are we going out on?
This is... Lee Matthews. Like, these boys came through when I was working at George FM, and I sort of teamed up with them and did a tune with them, and then they kind of switched to drum and bass, and they've just taken not just New Zealand, but they're taking the world by storm at the moment. And it's kind of like alongside Floatus and Sly Chaos, they're the sort of, and Burnsy as well, they're the next generation of New Zealand sort of drum and bass producers who are sort of going to make a major impact around the world. So this tune was the one that really blew them up. I think it was probably from last year, but they've released a whole bunch of stuff recently, and they're working on an album, and they've also got a 6-hour show happening at Spark Arena in November as well. So that just sort of shows how far they've come. They've kind of created a cult following, and it's just awesome to see. So I thought I'd rip the boys.
Rad. Well, we're gonna we'll sign off at this point, because we're about to play out of the same channel that we're talking to you on. So thank you very much for chatting to us this evening. If people want to check it out, it's the History of New Zealand Drum and Bass Podcast.
That's right.
It's on YouTube. It's on Spotify.
Give us a follow if you want to stay up to date with all the episodes that are dropping as well, at NZDNB Podcast on all platforms, including YouTube. And keep up to date.
NZ On Air, if you're listening.
Yeah, let's get that documentary going.
Hey, old mates, put the mahi in. Hey, thanks very much, Jay. Really appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate the support.
Cheers, brother.
Peace. Yep.
What's Cooking? Supported by Auckland Art Gallery Toyo Tamaki. Become a member today for great art benefits.